Hi, this is Jeff Lizardo, UpRange's Oracle Practice Leader. And I want to take a couple of moments today to talk about Oracle's audits, more specifically how it's applying today. I know there's a lot of information out there about audits and how to handle them, et cetera, but there's kind of a new dynamic going on, or maybe not so new, but a little bit of a twist on it. So we are seeing or hearing about in the market that Oracle is increasing its audits, or at least the conversation around it, right? Approaching clients to say, look, you know, we're looking to sell you some cloud or wherever the case may be. And then there's kind of the underlying, I won't call it a threat, but an implied, hey, there could be an audit on the horizon. Just understand a couple of things, right? One is, and the key takeaway of this is, these audits really are a sales endeavor or sales exercise in disguise. That's the ultimate goal here. Even their LMS team is geared or targeted with growth objectives, with revenue objectives. So they're not going to look to audit you if there's no money there or if there's nothing to be had. So if you're on an unlimited license agreement of some kind, any of the products listed on that unlimited, on that ULA, you're not going to be audited on because you'd already be in compliance because it's unlimited. And generally speaking, even if there's no growth events that you've had or anything that's going on, you've kind of maintained the same level of licenses, they're really not going to be looking to audit you. Again, there has to be some sort of money there or some sort of challenge they feel they can address, or some way they can kind of create some fear, uncertainty, and doubt and lead that to a sales cycle. So it's all about generating a sales cycle. And Larry Ellison has said many times here that their future rests on Fusion ERP, on the application stack, SaaS, and Autonomous Database on the tech stack. And all the products flow from those two. There's also Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, OCI. That's more the platform that they run their cloud applications on. So there's a lot of different things that obviously Oracle pitches there as far as the value that those solutions provide. But from the audit perspective, understand if you're getting audited or a threat of an audit, it's all about a sales exercise. And that sales exercise is guided towards getting you to sign for some sort of cloud service. A couple things to note. Oracle has some challenges, right? One, they've got to get customers to see the value and want to move to cloud. And certainly some of that has accelerated over the last year as a result of COVID and people's transformation programs and moving to cloud and more scalable, flexible solutions has kind of moved up in a lot of people's timelines. So they are pressing that. The other thing Oracle has is that's not helping them is their applications unlimited policy. So you might recall about 15 years ago, after Oracle made a bunch of large acquisitions with J.D. Edwards, Siebel, PeopleSoft, et cetera, and then they announced Fusion to kind of combine all of this, people stopped buying. They said, wait, I'm not going to keep expanding my footprint or investing in these solutions because I don't know when I'm going to be forced to migrate to Fusion. So Oracle, you know, with sales kind of dry at that point, or the pipeline drying out, had to come out with something that's, and it was basically Applications Unlimited policy that stated, we will not, for many of the core ERP applications, we will not force you to migrate at any point in time. And I think they granted this to at least 2030 or somewhere. And so that's been in place for quite some time. So that policy means that really Oracle cannot now kind of sunset support on these applications and force customers to migrate to Fusion ERP. Kind of the same way that SAP, right? They're forcing customers in many cases, or trying to migrate to S/4HANA. That's really not an option for Oracle at this time. And so that's where kind of the audit comes into play. Conducting these audits allow Oracle to kind of generate a sales cycle in order to engage in those discussions to move to an audit. So they create a lot of fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And there's, you know, debates about how this looks and whether some of these policies really apply to your agreement, et cetera. They're going to ignore all of that. Their goal is to create fear, uncertainty, and doubt, present you with a big number, and then say, hey, we can make this all go away if you sign for some sort of cloud agreement. You might still have to purchase some on-premise licenses, but even those are going to be much better priced and more heavily discounted with better commercial terms if you include a cloud solution, because Oracle sales reps only get quota relief or sales quota relief for cloud deals, not for other deals. So that's why everything is geared around the cloud. One of the things that you need to be aware of also is that the licensing rules, and this is something a lot of organizations struggle with, we're conditioned to look at rules, and whether it's licensing rules, whatever the case may be, societal rules, as being there to be in compliance. I mean, you think about from the very beginning, your parents, your teachers, you know, follow the rules and, you know, you'll be safe. And it was in your parents' and teachers' best interests for you to follow those rules. So they made them simple and easy to understand. It's not Oracle's best interest for clients to be able to follow the rules. right? They want to create more sales and more sales cycles. So it's easy for people to remain in compliance. That's not going to help them generate sales cycles. So that's why for many organizations, they say, wow, why are these licensing rules so confusing? Why are these policies come into play and they're not really attached to my agreement? It's a whole bunch of ways you can be out of compliance. That's done by design because it benefits Oracle. And I mention this because, unfortunately, for some organizations, you know, if you get hit with a large compliance fee that's unexpected, executives come down and look to blame someone, right? And oftentimes that comes down to vendor management, it could come down to procurement, it could come down to a number of individuals, and there's some ramifications as a result of that. Some people even lose their job. It could just be other things, more political capital hit, et cetera. I mention this because it is important, I think, to have a third party kind of validate to say, look, this isn't really your fault. I mean, there could be some things that you're just not tracking, but in many cases, a lot of people that kind of have what I'll call like, innocent non-compliance. It was unintentional. You know, it was just because the rules were so confusing or things happened over so many years through acquisitions, people deploying things without understanding what their license requirements were from IT. It's really tough to kind of control everything. And therefore, an out-of-compliance situation exists. So take some comfort in that, or let your executives know that, hey, you know, there's nothing we could really do about some of this. I think the key thing that you can do now before you get an audit, there are a few things you can do. One is to do a self-assessment. I think that's one of the biggest things you can do. Look at your contract. See exactly what each product is and the license metrics they are. And then actually write down what your license entitlements are from your contract. Don't guess and look and rely on some sort of spreadsheet. But look at the contract, right? You're not paid to guess or to think. You're paid to know. When I do that, I always want to make sure I have proof to say I can point to a contract to show my license entitlement. And then internally, you've got to go through a self-assessment to see what you're actually utilizing and draft all of that. And then the harder part comes in, which is you have to look at how you're using it and apply Oracle's policies regarding multiplexing, virtualization, minimum license requirements, etc., to see what your license requirements actually are per Oracle's policies. Then you can map that to your entitlements and ultimately see where you're over-licensed and under-licensed. I know it's a lot of work to do, and we help some clients do that, but it does remove the fear. The biggest thing that customers have when they come to us, they say, look, I heard an Oracle audit is just such a nightmare. I want to avoid it. And they're just fearful of it. But once they understand where they're likely to be audited, not in if they have a ULA, not if they already have cloud, since that's where Oracle wants you to go. But more importantly, you know, looking at what their actual entitlements are versus the utilization and seeing that on-prem, they can kind of get a sense and say, you know what, it's not as bad as we thought. And that removes a big part of the fear, and that's helpful for some peace of mind. Additionally, you can also identify areas of non-compliance and then look to self-help, right? There's some remedies you can do. It might be some system architecture changes you need to make in order to comply with virtualization rules. It could be just decommissioning some licenses. In many cases, sometimes the licenses are out there, user licenses, and they just simply haven't been reassigned appropriately. And so sometimes it's just decommissioning certain licenses to get into compliance. But all of those options are available to you before you're under an audit. Once you're under an audit, those options, generally speaking, are not available. So that's why it's important to do that up front now and kind of gain control. The other thing I would say is, as part of your assessment, you really need to take a look at your cloud migration strategy and your desired timing. As I mentioned, this has kind of changed over the past year. A lot of organizations have had to revisit or recalibrate the strategy. But I mention this so that you can identify where do you think there's the most immediate need or likelihood to find value in cloud solutions, whether that's on the application side, whether that's on the tech stack. This could help you in an audit in the event you are facing an Oracle audit or Oracle is approaching you and kind of under the threat of an audit potentially in the future, to know where you would have some cloud interest if there exists there with Oracle, and maybe pull some of that demand forward and enter into a cloud deal as a means to settle a compliance issue or even to avoid an audit altogether. It is something that can be done. Additionally, if you do need to make a purchase for some compliance, you're going to take a proactive approach. Understand too that purchasing cloud is going to be having a cloud solution really benefits the sales team. They're going to make sure they propose it pretty much almost required in any type of purchase. But even if that doesn't apply to you, you can find some way around it. They're going to make sure that you have a much better pricing and commercial terms if it includes a cloud purchase at the same time. So understand that. And I always think it's helpful to know that so this way you're purchasing cloud solutions or credits that align with where you're going to see value rather than just being a sunk cost or shelfware. I'll also say this, even if you have no interest in Oracle Cloud, and I've told this to many clients that have not had that, they're concerned about an audit, it's still many times more financially beneficial for you to purchase something cloud and never deploy it. Because the commercial terms, the pricing you're going to get on the other licenses you need, the ROI is going to be far better than if you purchase cloud with it than if you don't. And Oracle's going to make sure it looks that way because, again, it's to their benefit. It helps with their sales quota. So a lot of things that you can do there internally. I always think the best thing to do is to be prepared and also obviously to understand Oracle's approach and what their goal is. So whenever they approach you about an audit, understand that's a sales cycle. They think there's something there and they're going to try to find some way to incentivize or persuade you to go ahead and sign up for some sort of a cloud solution.